Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team. And Rachel, thank you for that testimony. We serve a good, good Father. I do want to let you know this morning that today will be a tad bit different. And if you're a guest with us, I want you to know that this is going to be a little bit different message time than we normally have. Most often, we are walking our way through a particular book, and we will kick off next Sunday working our way through the book of 1 John. And so I want you to be prepared for that as we lean into that beginning on Easter Sunday. But today's going to be a little bit different because we have, over the last number of weeks, been talking about what it looks like for us moving forward at North River Church. We have talked about the property that we own right down the road that is paid off. We've talked about the plans as we've been moving forward and talking with different contractors, talking with civil engineers and architects and all of those people that we're going to be working with through this process of building a permanent facility for North River Church. Now, here's what I've said as we've walked through this whole process. The end goal for us is not to build a building. Let me say that one more time. The end goal for us is not to build a building. A building is simply a tool that God can use to continue reaching people for Jesus. And so we've been blessed to be able to meet in this space for about 6.5 years. And we are looking forward to the day when we're going to be able to meet in our own space. And to do that, it's going to take some work to get there. And so this morning, what we're going to lay out for you is the biblical foundation for us as we launch into a capital campaign to raise the necessary funds to begin building. And so I'm going to invite someone up after we talk through the word this morning and allow them to share this capital campaign process with you and also introduce the team once again that has been working through this over the last number of months. But before we do that, I want us to set the foundation, biblically speaking, for what we're doing. I want to remind us as we look forward to raising those funds, as we look forward to building, I want us to remind ourselves the purpose for which we exist and what God wants to do in the life of North River Church. And if you'll take your Bibles and join me in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 14 and walk through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. This is what Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God, would you open our ears this morning? Would you open our hearts? That we'd be able to hear from your word and that we would be able to respond in obedience. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. I love Paul's prayer here in Ephesians chapter 3. One of the things that you'll notice as Paul writes letters to churches, they're typically churches that he'd spent some time in. In Ephesus, he had been there about 2.5 to 3 years, spending time planting that church and investing in those believers, hoping to see God do an incredible work in that pagan city. And we see Paul writing this letter to them, and in the first couple of chapters, Paul reminds them of what Christ has done in their lives. He reminds them that because they are Christ, they have inherited incredible riches being His sons and daughters. He's reminded them that they used to be dead in their trespasses and sins, but because of their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, they've been made alive together with Christ. Paul is reminding them of all that God has done in their lives, and it brings us here to this prayer that he utters for them. And he says, "For this reason, because of all that Christ has done for you, because you believed in Him as your Savior, for this reason," Paul says, "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according," listen to this, "to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." Just pause for a moment and ask yourself, how rich is God the Father? How rich is He? Bill Gates has got nothing on God, right? Can we say that? You can say amen. It's okay. You can talk back. That's good. We serve a heavenly Father who owns it all. And he says here, Paul does, that according to God's riches, that He would grant you, these believers, and us, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in our inner being. I think we identify with Rachel in a lot of situations and circumstances. We do wonder if God's good. We do wonder if God's in control. We do wonder, is God at work in our lives, or is he just kind of sleeping? Is he taking a break? And yet Paul says here that no, that's not the case at all, because for us who are followers of Jesus, Paul is praying this prayer that we would be strengthened in our inner being through His Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The greatest strength that any of us as believers could ever have is the strength of the Holy Spirit of God at work in our lives. And if you want to know what the Spirit's doing at work in our lives, He shows us here that we'd be grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Listen, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, pause for just a second and think about what Paul's saying here. Paul is speaking to believers, and so when Paul says for Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith, he's not talking about the moment of salvation. Here's the difference that Paul is showing us. When someone comes to stay at your home, how many of you, raise your hands, have ever said, "Just make yourself at home"? How many of you lied when you said that? Right? We really don't mean that. Because you do things in your home you don't want other people to do, right? You think, "I don't want that going on in my home." And yet we say that to people. We want them to feel at home. Just make yourself at home. And yet that's exactly what Paul's saying here about Jesus. He's saying that as the Spirit strengthens us in our inner being, it's so that Christ dwells at home in our lives. Now, here's the thing that we know. If we're followers of Jesus, we know that Christ dwells within us. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, is Christ at home in your life? It's a completely different thing. Does Christ feel at home in your heart and in your life? Or does he feel like an unwanted guest? See, Paul says here that as the Spirit strengthens us with his power, Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. Listen to this, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. There is no greater prayer that could be prayed for a group of believers than this prayer. Paul wants something for these believers in Ephesus, and he wants something for us as well. It's the same desire that I, as your pastor, have for you. I want us, as followers of Jesus at North River Church, to be strengthened within so that it looks like our outside lives look like Christ is at home living in us. See, here's the thing that happens. When Christ is at home living within us, we're different than we used to be. People look at our lives and they recognize there's something about what's going on in your heart and in your life. There's something different about you. And here's what we've got to understand. If we're going to make the impact that we desire to make at North River Church in this community, what we're going to have happen in our lives is Christ has got to be at home. Maybe a believer here this morning and you say, you know, I've asked Christ to be Lord of my life, but you know, the truth is, I'm not sure he's really at home. He may be a bit uncomfortable there. Maybe sin in our lives that we need to deal with and bring to account in our lives, but here's the thing. Here's what Paul desires for these believers in Ephesus, that they would be strengthened from within so that they would begin to understand Christ's love and they would be able to demonstrate that love in the community that they were in. See, it's hard to show someone something that you don't fully understand. It's hard to show Christ's love when you don't fully understand it. And yet, that's Paul's prayer for these believers, that they would begin to understand just how great Christ's love is for them. And that in understanding that, they would demonstrate that to the world that was around them. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that could happen in the life of you as a believer, in the life of North River Church, is that we would begin to understand exactly what Christ has done for us. See, here's the thing. If we truly understand what Christ has done, if we truly recognize how great of a gift salvation has been given to us, when we see that, when we begin to understand that, it transforms our lives. You can't help but talk about it. You can't help but let folks know. The greatest thing that this community needs is a group of believers at North River Church who have been strengthened from within by the Holy Spirit of God so that Christ feels at home in our lives and we begin to know and understand what He's done for us. And then we walk out of this building after gathering together and we take on this community with the love that only Christ can give us. That's what we need. That's what will transform our lives. That's what will transform this community. And as we look forward to a building, here's the interesting thing. None of what I just said had to do with building a building. Unless we're talking about this temple of God. It's building us from within. That's Paul's desire for these believers here in Ephesus. And he says in verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Here's the thing that we've got to understand as we walk through this process. God can do a whole lot more than we could ever dream of Him doing. There are people that you think right now in your life, there's no way that God could get a hold of them, and He can. There's some of you that are walking through difficulties in your marriage or in your family, and you think there's no way for God to be able to work that out, and here's the truth, He can. You've got a crazy boss. Scott, don't say amen. You've got a crazy boss and you think there's no way that God can work in and through this situation, and He can. Listen, God is about doing things beyond any of our wildest dreams. But listen to this. He does it not for our glory, but for His glory. That's what we see Paul pray here at the end. To Him, that is God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Listen, as we've been walking through this process and we've been looking at numbers and we've been thinking about what it means to build a building, here's some of the thoughts, I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, that have been going through my mind. That's a lot of money. Any of y'all had that same thought? That's going to take a lot of work. To which the campaign team said, amen, right? And here's the thing. It is going to take a lot of work, and it is a lot of money for us in our own strength, but not for God. God's not sitting in heaven going, I wish I could come up with some money for you guys. That's not the way He works. He's not sitting in heaven thinking, you know, guys, that's really good, and I hope you're able to get there, but kind of hands off on this one. Good luck. It's not the way God works. In fact, what we find out from Paul here is that God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. See, the issue that we may face, church, is not that we're thinking too big, but we're thinking too small. Amen or ouch. Not that we're thinking too big, too grand, but we're thinking too small. If we can just get a building, I think God's laughing going, oh, you haven't seen what I could do. You haven't even begun to get a glimpse of what I could do in and through this church, in this community. God can do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, listen to this, or even think, according to His power at work in us and for His glory. This is not about us. This is not about us building a building. Ultimately, church, this is about us walking in obedience with our Heavenly Father, allowing God to work in and through us to change this community around us, even as we ourselves are being transformed daily by His Spirit at work within us. God wants to do beyond all we can ask or imagine. The issue is not God. The issue is the person that we look at in the mirror. Are we standing in His way? Are we blocking what He wants to do? Or are we the conduits through which God is going to accomplish greater things than we could ever imagine in this community for His glory? Church, I believe that's what God wants to do. And I believe He wants to use you, and I believe He wants to use me, and I believe He wants to transform this community. And here's the cool thing. He invites us to be part of it. He opens the door for us to join Him in what He's doing. I want to ask one of our guys if they would make their way up, Jay Carricker. And as he does that, he's going to detail out for us this capital campaign, appropriately, I believe, named Beyond, Rooted in Christ, and Growing by Faith. As Jay makes his way up, I do want to ask that those who have served on the capital campaign team, whether from a finance perspective or whether from a marketing perspective, would you stand, please, real quick? Church family, give these folks a hand. They have worked hours and hours and hours to bring all of this together this morning. And so Jay's going to walk through a campaign guide that we will pass out to you after he finishes for the strategic purpose that you're not looking at it while he's talking. Does that sound good? That way you'll pay attention. We know how that works. At the end of the service, we're going to have a time of invitation to give you a chance, one, to come and pick up your baskets so that you can egg your neighbor. And then as we close out the service this morning, we have some North River swag. If you don't know what swag is, lean to your neighbor and ask, okay? We've got shirts that we are giving to you. We have little piggy banks that we're going to give to our kiddos. And so as you make your way out this morning, there's some tables set up out there, and you'll be able to collect all of those things as we begin to walk through this campaign process. So, Jay, it's all you, brother.
So Michael asked me if I was ready, and you know, not only am I ready, this has been something that we've been waiting and anticipating for the past 8 years. So it's just been an exciting week this week as things have begun to come together. And you know, the team, the marketing team, Brittany and Aaron and Megan and David, you know, it almost giddy with excitement. It was like Christmas every morning, you know, something new come in, or the campaign guides get done and we see it, and it's just amazing to see, you know, all this come together, and here we are today. So, you know, as we listen to Michael in his sermon, and we look back over the past 7 weeks and we think about, you know, all that God has done to impact this church and through this group of people, it's just been amazing to me to watch the transformation in friends and family and my family specifically. And, you know, my three girls, you know, came to know Jesus here and were baptized here. And it's just an awesome place to call home. So when we think about this slogan, Beyond, and rooted in Christ and growing by faith, it's not just the vision that we have for this building. It really is, it perfectly describes our journey as a church. It describes the past and what God's done in and through us. So the past 6 weeks or 7 weeks, we've had a chance to see video testimonials, and we heard testimonies, and we had baptisms, and we celebrated with those people, and we heard so many things, and I just want to share a few because they really just stick out to me. So one of the things I heard several times was, this place is just, it's like home. I just feel like I fit in. And I think for me, that's one of the most important things to hear, is just that the people are real here. I mean, even Scott, talking to Scott, you know, not long after they got here, I'm like, you know, it's just, there's something different. You can almost feel it, you know, and people are just real. They're not putting on faces. And Scott's like, man, it's funny that you say that, because we felt the same thing like almost immediately. So I think that's, you know, that's awesome about this church. And one of the other things, you know, just the impact that we've had in this community. You know, there's so many people that have come from the community, from different churches, from not being church, and you know, Paul Hockenberry shared his story, and God just continuing to work on his heart through these people, and all along, from the, even before we knew what was happening here, it's been about God pulling and people standing up and saying, yes, you know, I'll do it. So I just want to walk kind of through the history a little bit, because I think it's important for us to understand, you know, before we even knew that the church was going to happen 8 years ago or whatever it was. So as we look about, and Michael talks about how big this is, and it, you know, it's a God-sized plan, and only God can do this. I think it's important to look backwards, because only God could get us here. So 8 years ago, there was an outreach challenge from the pastor at West Braden Baptist Church. He wanted us to go out into the neighborhoods and reach our community. And there was a group of people that had been going to West Bradenton because there was really nowhere to go to church in Parrish. And a lot of us had begun to move out here. And the response to that outreach program was just unbelievable. And from that, I think the first seed was planted in a small group here in Parrish. And at that same time, God was, you know, leading the heart of Pastor Allen to plant a church, to do a ministry in this community. And then there was 35 people that responded and said, yes, I'll go. You know, we'll help you plant that church. And in 2 years, you know, we have a pastor come in full time. We have a full-time worship leader, and we go and we become an autonomous church, North River Church, standalone, no longer a ministry of West Braden Baptist Church. And it almost felt like we arrived. And like Michael said, you know, the church is not us arriving. It's just a tool. So I think God taught us a lesson at that point, and we had a little bit of a little time of trouble or learning. So we lost our staff members on the same day. And I think it was just an amazing picture of the heart of this church. And for me, it was concrete evidence that this place was rooted in Christ, because the church didn't fold or we didn't have issues, but instead we came together and we unified and we continued to grow and people continued to give. And we walked through 40 days of prayer. And the whole time this is going on, little did we know, God had been laying it on the heart of a local family to sell their property at a ridiculously cheap price to a church because they believed their mother would want a church on their property. And so in this time with no staff, an interim pastor, and walking through this prayer, not only did this church say, yes, let's buy this property, but we pay it off in a year and a half. And I mean, just an amazing testament to see that happen. So here we are today. You know, we have a full staff. Well, Michael, you know, may argue that he could use a couple more. but we have a wonderful staff, and I think they're just awesome guys. Proud to call them friend and pastors. They love us well. They lead us well, and we're just so thankful for all of three of them. But so we have a full staff, and it's time for us to come together again and take the next step. So we have a unique opportunity, an amazing opportunity to be a part of God's work together. And it's going to take us coming together to do that, because it is a big plan. It does seem like a lot of money, but as Michael said, we serve a big God, and nothing's too big for him. So just like the land that was out there, you know, I believe that there's probably somebody out there that's ready to donate. God's working on their heart right now to donate a big chunk of money to help us get there. So it's time now for us to come together and let's build this project. And so I just want to walk through this campaign guide to help explain it so that it makes it simple and hopefully I answer all the questions that you may have. And so we'll start. So here you see the front of the guide that will be passed out here in a few minutes. And again, our title and our slogan is Beyond, Rooted in Christ and Growing by Faith. And we're rooted in Christ because we believe, you know, this is a Bible teaching, a Bible preaching church, that our foundation is on the Word of God. We believe that God's Word is inherent and true. And so that's where we want to plant our roots. And growing by faith, it's not just about the building. You know, we want to grow individually, we want to grow collectively, and we want to reach this community. And you see our verse that Michael preached about today, Ephesians 3:20-21. And I believe that, you know, as we walk through this, we truly believe as a campaign team, as a staff, and I know many of you do as well, talking to you, that God already has a plan, that we may not be able to see it. It may seem too big. It may seem like a crazy idea, but I believe that God already has a plan. He already knows when this is going to happen, how this is going to happen. So we just need to step out in faith and pray together and give sacrificially to this project. So as we turn to the next page, so this is the inside cover, and I just want to give you some of the building development specifics. So one of the things about, you know, having a building and it being a tool that we get to use to help spread the gospel in this community and make disciples and teach and foster that next generation is it gives us a presence. You know, it gives us that light in this community that everybody gets to see, not just a sign 2 days a week, but it's a building they get to drive by and a building that we get to use, or the community gets to use 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So our worship space will have a seating capacity of approximately 400. Right now the plan is to have chairs, not pews. And so it'd be multifunctional space. We could use it for, I know Kelly Kennedy will say amen, we can use it for weddings. And the Johnson girls, we'll have a place to get married, because Scott threatened to have them married right here in the sanctuarium. So I know that's not going to happen. So we've got to get it built before they get married. But so it'll be multi-purpose, multifunctional, great space, and we'll see some renderings of the inside in a minute. But the children's space will accommodate 200 children. I mean, something that we have been so blessed with in this church is just an amazing amount of children. And, you know, of course, I've contributed to that myself with three. But, you know, there's so many kids in this community to reach. And we have so many kids here, and they're like little missionaries. And they go out, and it's amazing to hear the stories that my kids tell, and it just makes you so proud. You know, them talking to their friends and their classmates and telling them, you know, you should come to North River because it is awesome. Because our kids program and the people that spend their time and their talents and just share with those kids is just amazing. I'm so thankful for them. But we're going to have a big lobby, not the back of the room here. So we'll have a huge lobby. So for before and after service or special events, whatever the case may be, there'll be plenty of room to congregate. You know, some things that we have talked about is you can see a coffee shop there and some different things just to gather and fellowship. In the back, there's going to be a covered pavilion and recreational space that we can do special events and reach the community that way. Some of the outreach that, you know, we've done here, we'll be able to move over to our property and have plenty of space and amenities to accommodate that. And then the site work will provide for an additional expansion in the future, because as Michael said today, and when we listened to Mr. Tommy Lovitz's testimony a couple weeks ago, you know, he said, this building is probably just the beginning. You know, we could outgrow this building in the next 5 years, who knows? 10 years, whatever it may be. So the site work's gonna give us the opportunity to expand up to about 60,000 square feet of additional space. So the cost, you know, we talked about it being a big cost, but again, God can do big things. So based on the preliminary construction numbers, we believe that we're going to be able to construct the facility and outfit it completely, do everything that we want to do. So this is our dream number. This covers the gamut. It's $2.75 million. It's a big number. But again, this right now is, you know, that's the maximum number. So we want to talk about our goal for a minute. Obviously, our goal is to be debt-free. But upon recommendation of our stewardship committee, we believe that if we can get somewhere around half, that we could go ahead and begin to make that happen. So I know the first question is going to be, why half? What's the real number? When's that going to happen? Well, the reason it's half is because right now it's all conceptual. These are architectural renderings. This is the space that we can build in. So until we do final plans, which we have not done for a reason, because we don't want to lock ourselves in just yet. So we'll have the space, the outline. Here's what we can build within. And then as we get final plans, that'll give us our final number. So we could come in below 2.75. And also, you know, if we raise, say, $1 million on the first day or $1.5 million, whatever it is, we could say, okay, let's start, because it's obvious that this is going to happen. Or if it takes a little longer, we could wait a little longer if we need to. So that's why the half. And hopefully I explained that well. Yes? No? Okay. So how long is the campaign? So the campaign will go for 3 years. That doesn't mean that you guys cannot close this thing out in a year and a half like we did the land. But right now, the campaign is designed to be a three-year giving. So if we go to the next page. So this is the architectural renderings, which many of you have seen the board at the church office, and we've had it here on occasion. On the top, you can see the site plan. You can't zoom in with that program, can you? Okay. So I'll try to explain it the best I can. So the kind of in the middle on the right side, that would be the main entrance, and it would split around the building. And you see parking on the right-hand side, on the back of the building, and then, of course, that's the church, the house right now, the office way off to the left. And so, again, this is just a preliminary site plan. And then if you see in the middle, that is the that's just the architect's conceptual layout for the building. So this is not set in stone. So many have asked, where's the kitchen or where's this or where's that? Well, that's just a space. So we just drew it out so that you could get an idea, get a visual for what can be done. So this is not the final drawing by any means. But you can see, you know, that where the stage will be and where the chairs are, kids' classrooms up to the top of the page, and then maybe some older kids, youth group on the bottom of the page, and then, of course, the big lobby there in the middle. And then in the bottom, the orange and blue, I can promise you, will not be there. I can promise you that. It will not be there. So that is just a concept. Those colors happen to stand out. They're very bold. So next page, please, Matt. So you may ask, how can I get involved? Great question. Thank you for asking. You can pray. First and foremost, we need you to pray. I think it's just... God has proven to me and shown me time and time again, as we pray both individually and corporately, He answers those prayers. So we'll have a prayer guide that we'll walk through here in a minute. And you can give a one-time sacrificial gift on the 30th when we do our commitment Sunday. So this would be above and beyond your three-year commitment. You don't have to do that. That's just what we're asking you to consider doing. So on April 30th, we will have Commitment Sunday, and we would ask that you consider, that your family pray about, giving a one-time sacrificial gift to the Beyond campaign. And then additionally, a gift, whether it be daily, monthly, yearly, we'll have a guide for that, if that helps, over the next 3 years to commit to that. And of course, we understand that circumstances change, things change, people move, jobs change, whatever the case may be. The Johnsons have triplets, so things change. So these are not set in stone, but it helps us get an idea of where we're going to be, how long it's going to take to raise the funds, and when we can start to construct the building. And of course, everybody wants to see that happen, right? So the next page, this is not a dartboard. We tried to shrink it, but every time we shrunk the picture down, the lady at the printing office said, well, the pastor keeps calling and saying, make the picture bigger. Just kidding. So, as I mentioned before, we have an amazing opportunity here to come together as a church family and to see what God has planned for us in the future, both in this church, in this building project, and in this community, so that we can reach those that don't know Jesus, because that's what it's all about. So there's a word here from Pastor Michael. I won't read the whole word, because you can certainly read that. But our vision, I think our vision is important, and if you look on our website and you know our vision is to worship, grow, serve, and go. And our vision for this building is just that. That's the whole purpose. This is a tool that God has given us, that property. He didn't give it to us to feed cows. I know Mike Foljam thinks so. But that property is not for feeding cows. That property is for feeding those future generations that need to know Jesus, about making disciples. So that's the vision. And why build the building? I just covered that as well. So on the back of the page, we have a prayer guide. And this is what we're asking. Again, we would just love for our church family to gather together and bathe this thing in prayer, because that's the only way it's going to happen. We have to expect God to do far beyond what we could ever imagine. So on Sunday, we're asking, you'll see it says, as we walk through this building campaign on Sundays, ask God to remind us to daily that this is all about Him. Because at the end of the day, that building is for glorifying God. It's not for Michael to say, look what I build, for North River Church to say, hey, I don't have to set up anymore. That's not what it's about. Those are nice things, but that's not what it's about. This is about God. So on Mondays, we're going to ask to grow in love, or grow our love and passion for Him. Again, it's about growing by faith, not just growing vertically in a building, but growing as a group of people, growing as individuals in our spiritual walk. So we're going to ask that God would grow our love and passion for Him on Mondays. Tuesdays, we want to unify as a church family, just like when we had no staff a few years ago, and we begin to pray together. We saw the church unify and relationships just be concreted. I don't like the word cement. But relationships just began to grow as we joined together, wrapped our arms around each other, and walked through that time. So Wednesdays, we're going to ask that God burden our hearts for the people of our community. And then Thursdays, to teach us to be generous people. Fridays, we want to grant His provision and His timing. And on Saturday, we're going to ask God to build a gospel legacy through the ministry of North River Church. So I was told to speed up, so that's why I read those faster. Okay, so there's an insert on the inside on the right where it says, how can I get involved? It's put on with a little sticky thing. We just found out after we stuck them that it kind of rips the campaign guide. So if you pull it to the right, it won't rip as much of the page. But so you'll find that we have a commitments. So this just kind of lays out some plans. It's just a guide for you guys to look at. But it shows, you know, what it would be for a daily gift, a weekly gift, a monthly gift, and how it impacts the overall building campaign. And then on the back, this is an example of what you'll turn in on April 30th. We'll have a big box, and as families, we will walk up and turn in our commitment cards and our gifts, our one-time sacrificial gifts. So that's what we have. Michael, did I miss anything? Piggy banks. We also thought it would be really cool to have piggy banks so that the kids can join in, because there's so many kids in this church, and I think it's important for them to see us, to pray over what God's doing here, and to see us give sacrificially. So we thought it'd be cool to get piggy banks for all the kids so that they can join in the excitement and help save up some of their pennies, and they will also be able to bring those forward and put that in the box on Commitment Sunday. That was it? Good? T-shirts, okay. So the team now is going to pass out the campaign guide. There will be one for each family so that you can take those home and read over it. Hopefully I covered everything and you won't have any questions, but in the event that you do, we are going to have a question and answer period on April 23rd after the service, and we'll be able to answer any further questions that we may have at that time. So inside the campaign guide, they're also passing out a t-shirt request, or whatever you want to call it. So it's a paper for your family. You can put what sizes you need. So if you would fill that out now, you're going to take those outside to the tables where the t-shirts are as soon as we get done. And you'll see there's three sides to the tables. One side's A through like G, the next one's whatever comes next in the alphabet on. So there's three tables. If you will follow those and get in line, and they will pick the t-shirts that you need from your card. And I think that's it.
All right. Jay, thank you so much. Y'all give Jay a hand. Jay is from Alabama. We thought about putting subtitles on the screen as he was sharing. we do want to make sure that you get your campaign guide and that you're able to get all the information that you need. As Jay mentioned, we will have a meeting on the 23rd. If you have questions following the service, right through those double doors, take a right, and we'll be able to answer those questions as you have those. I do want to ask if you go ahead and stand with me. And as Pastor Scott plays, I want to pray for us and then encourage you to make your way up, and let's empty the stage of these buckets with eggs in them as we egg our neighbor this week. Father, we love you. We thank you for the chance that you give us to partner with you in what you're doing. Lord, we pray over these buckets as they will go out and eggs will be hidden and families will be touched in our community. Lord, would you impress on their hearts that they would come, Lord, would you begin to build even relationships now with our people, and Lord, that it would ultimately result in people coming to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for the chance you give us to walk through this process of trusting you, of being faithful, of being generous. Lord, would you do more here than we could ever imagine? And we ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a